The next matter before the court is Lineweber versus Cruz. The next matter is Lineweber versus Cruz. Mr. Lineweber, please approach. Mr. Lineweber, there's some lights there in front of you, and when the green light starts, that means you have 10 minutes to present your argument. Unless you ask for a specific amount of time, the yellow light will come on when you have 2 minutes left. If you wish to reserve part of that 10 minutes for rebuttal, you are welcome to do so. If you are done with your argument before all your time is used up, you will automatically be able to use that time for rebuttal. Note, when the red light comes on and you have used all of your 10 minutes, and you will not be allowed any time for rebuttal. Understand how the system works?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Are you ready to proceed?
Good morning, honorable members of the court.
Morning.
I'm Ray Lineweber. I'm appearing pro se here today. And this case number C-116-1293 comes out of Lancaster County District Court, and which was heard a motion to dismiss on June 1, 2016. The court issued the order from the Judge Lori Merritt on December 6, 2016. This appellant filed the appeal on January 3, 2017. The bill of exceptions was received by the Court of Appeals on January 5, 2017, and it's a proper court, obviously, to hear the appeal. I'm seeking it to be remanded back to the district court for errors that I believe the evidence would show were committed at the court. This plaintiff offered multiple exhibits which were admitted by the court, and in exhibits 1 through 40 and 42 through 47. Exhibit 41 was the affidavit of the plaintiff, of the defendant, and that is the one that I have in question today. The defendant had a little military disability, so please bear with me. The defendant, in making his case with the affidavit before the court, indicated that he never had any control over any equipment of mine or anything of that nature. That is not true. In the Exhibit 6, the assumption of lease that I signed with the landlord assigned me all the abandoned equipment of the previous tenant. And the one of most concern and controversy was the ice machine. When the co-tenants didn't pay their bills, I merely said to my counsel at the time, what do I do? He said, put a lock on the ice machine. So I did, and the defendants said, look, we'll give you 24 hours, we're going to cut the lock, and they did. So I believe that he did take control of my equipment, and the controversy only escalated from there. They indicated...
Mr. Lyman, just for clarification, are you saying that landlord did this, or are you saying that Mr. Krause or the law firm...
Thank you. The law firm ordered the lock to be cut off the ice machine of my property for his client, which was also using my funds to pay the legal bills, even though I had retained a number of lawyers throughout the period of a 3 or 4 year period. They just kept the antics. Every decision against me was on their behalf. They had no regard for the tenant sharing agreement, which I was a party to. In fact, he contended that the ledge that paid his bill, the ledge that held my receipts, was created by the tenant sharing agreement. I was never a member of the ledge. The tenant sharing agreement was created on July 17, 2009. The ledge corporation was in August 3, 2009. And in the ledge incorporated were Moxie Management and K&K Coffee. I was not a part of any of those.
Did Mr. Cruz represent you in any of that?
That's the gray area, Your Honor. He contends he never represented me, but he, in one exhibit, gave permissiveness to Scooters to pay his bill using my funds. I could never figure out that I was paying to litigate against myself. That would be, from my perspective, the way the system would have worked on his behalf and contrary to me.
Where does that evidence come in that shows that your funds were used to pay his fees?
I think it's Exhibit 20. It's Exhibit 18. It's Mr. Cruz to Mr. Morrow. I informed my bill could be paid by the Ledge funds on October 29, 2013.
But you weren't part of Ledge.
I was not a part of the Ledge.
So if they were being paid by Ledge funds, those wouldn't be your funds, would they?
Yes, our funds, mine and Scooter's Coffee House, went into one checking account, which was supposed to have been the Rock, as Exhibit 7 requires the same. The Rock was never established. Instead, they established a Ledge account, which I was not a signatory to at the time, and they proceeded to pay bills out of that account and give me the leftovers.
Did you pay money into Ledge?
Yes.
Was there evidence submitted on that?
I stand corrected. When the Ledge gave me my receipts of the leftovers for mine, I always added to that to make sure my bills were paid. Did I personally put money into the Ledge account? No.
Your company did.
Well,
Your business did.
Yeah, they took the business receipts and put into the Ledge account.
Mm-hmm.
And your business is a LLC, is that correct?
Yes.
Do you understand the difficulty that we're going to have is that you as an individual are different than your business. And because you're not a lawyer, you can't represent the LLC. And so, as far as we're concerned here today, we're looking as you as an individual and what your standing is as far as the allegations are.
Where I, as an individual, signed on the consent of the lease and that was incorporated into the tenant sharing agreement, that's where I contend that I, as an individual, would have the standing to be part of that.
You indicated you didn't actually pay any money into Ledge. So I haven't heard yet where you as an individual have done anything to hire the law firm or their representative to represent you.
I never hired the law firm, but the manager of Ledge hired the law firm and used my money to pay the law firm.
Used companies.
By using the company's money, I had to then underwrite the paychecks and pay the purveyors because my money wasn't there.
You paid that money in then individually, or that came additional funds from the company?
Individually.
Were the copies of those checks admitted into evidence?
Not that I recall. I do recall that as an individual, I received checks from the Ledge.
So how do we establish that you put in these funds personally?
I have my bank records that I did not submit into evidence that shows tens of thousands of dollars.
You understand that we can't consider anything that is not part of the record?
I understand that, Your Honor.
Please proceed.
So what my concern is that the counsel and the defendants were untruthful in their submissions to not only the district court in a previous court by contending that the ledge was created by the tenant sharing agreement. That's not true. They contended that the equipment was owned by the ledge. That's not true. I submitted into evidence a personal copy of a personal check that I wrote for half the equipment. So I've just asked that. I believe that when the affidavit was submitted by the defendants and I objected to the same, the honorable judge should have asked for affidavits from both parties to clarify what my concerns were. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Step back. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Morning.
My name is Tori Gertis. I'm appearing today on behalf of the appellees, Brian Cruz, and the law firm, LLP. We're here today on Mr. Lineweaver's appeal of the decision of Lancaster County District Court, which granted summary judgment to the appellees and dismissed. The appellant assigns as error a number of issues on appeal relating to the procedure in the summary judgment hearing and also the court's order granting summary judgment. However, he fails to point to any evidence which would create an issue of material fact precluding summary judgment. I've identified the threshold issues that exist in this case. The undisputed material facts show that Mr. Lineweaver's complaint in his individual capacity fails to state a claim against Mr. Cruz or Rimbaud Ludke. That complaint could not be amended to state a claim for relief, and summary judgment was therefore appropriate. As the court is aware, the standard of review on judgment directs that only issues of material fact can preclude an entry of summary judgment. And while there are a number of facts that are presented by Mr. Lineweaver, none of the issues that are disputed are material. I just want to give the court a brief recitation of the facts that exist, the facts that are material, rather. They're detailed in our brief, but as a quick overview, the appellant's claims relate to his business, Brown Baggers, Inc., which is a corporation. Mr. Lineweaver is a shareholder of that corporation. Neither Mr. Cruz nor any other attorney at Rimbaud Ludke ever represented Mr. Lineweaver or Brown Baggers Corporation. They did, however, represent two other companies which had business relationships with Brown Baggers, Inc. One of those entities was Moxie Management, LLC, doing business as Scooter's Coffee House, and another of those entities, which was represented by the appellees, was The Ledge, LLC. Moxie is, as Mr. Lineweaver acknowledged, Mr. Lineweaver individually nor Brown Baggers has any ownership interest in Moxie, LLC. The Ledge, LLC is a manager-managed LLC managed by Rita Metcalf, in which Brown Baggers, Inc., the corporation, is a member. Mr. Lineweaver individually has no ownership interest, and he acknowledged that in his argument. Brown Baggers shared a retail space with Scooters, Moxie doing business as Scooters, and The Ledge was created as a separate entity formed by the two companies in order to facilitate the terms of their tenant sharing agreement. So there are a number of claims which I'm prepared to address. I think I'll focus on first and most importantly, the undisputed material facts demonstrate that there was no attorney-client relationship between either Mr. Lineweaver individually, Brown Baggers Corporation, and Mr. Cruz, or any other attorney at Rimbaud Ludke Law Firm.
What about his comment that funds were being used out of the ledge, which his company contributed to?
Well, Your Honor, it's correct that the ledge was paying the legal fees. However, Brown Baggers Corporation was a member of the ledge. Mr. Lineweaver individually is not.
So is that the only, is that the defect here? I mean, if it was the corporation that brought this lawsuit with an attorney, we might have a different situation.
That's possible, Your Honor. It's simply not the facts that we have before us today. Also important, the ledge and Moxie were actually adverse. The ledge and Moxie, as represented by Mr. Cruz, were adverse to
Mr. Lineweaver individually and Brown Becker seeing the lawsuits filed by Mr. Cruz related to the discrimination action parties. Mr. Lineweaver appears to acknowledge that he had no attorney-client relationship. And the record is devoid of any evidence that there existed such a relationship. Therefore, Mr. Cruz and Rembel were entitled to summary judgment on the issues in the complaint related to attorney malpractice and code of ethics, among others. There were a number of other issues alleged. It appears Mr. Lineweaver was taking issue, though, with the court's acceptance of the affidavit of Mr. Cruz into evidence, and his brief details that he took issue with the fact that there were perhaps untruthful statements in the affidavit. And so I'd like to address that as well. The rest of the statute 25-1334 provides that affidavits shall be made on personal knowledge, shall set forth facts, which would be admissible in evidence, and there is no evidence presented in the record that show that that affidavit contains but personal knowledge and facts which were admissible in evidence. At the summary judgment hearing, Mr. Lineweaver objected on the basis of that some of the facts in the affidavit were truthful. He did not object on any sort of evidentiary bases, and the court accepted that affidavit into evidence. It appears that Mr. Lineweaver is making assertion which would have been remedied by his own affidavit offering into evidence some disputes of the facts that he contends were untruthful in Exhibit 41. Mr. Lineweaver did not do that. Therefore, the court said that the court made no error in admitting Exhibit 41. Mr. Lineweaver's assignment of error to that effect should be supported by the court.
Because if he had submitted his own affidavit kind of challenging to prove his affidavit, then the court would have had to view the evidence most favorably.
Correct, Your Honor. And Mr. Lineweaver did offer a number of exhibits, and she has not pointed to any facts in any of those exhibits which contradict any of the statements in Mr. Cruz's affidavit that were also within the avenue. Respectfully, unless the court has any further questions, I would ask that the court affirm the Lancaster County District Court because no genuine issue of material fact exists here. The court properly found in favor of the appellee on each of the issues identified by the appellant.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir. How much time do you have left? Well, you have 28 seconds if you'd like to respond. You certainly may do so. And we'll start the clock until you appear, so take your time.
Let me correct a couple of things that the opposing plan counsel erred. The ledge was not formed by Moxie and Brown Eggers. That's in the town sharing agreement, which is 7H43 called for the rock. Brown Eggers is not a member of the ledge, according to Exhibit number 27, according to the Secretary of State. And Exhibit 18 shows the advance to the Cruz law firm from the ledge. Thank you.
So who was part of the ledge at the time that they were
At the time the payments were made, the only part of the ledge was Moxie Management. K&K Coffee had previously been a member of the ledge, and I bought her equipment.
Proceeds that Moxie had control of, they had obtained from Carol Beckers.
When you say proceeds, you're on a clarify, you mean business revenues?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Thanks. That is being submitted. You are excused.